Hi, I'm Lippy.
And I'm Grumpy. Together we're Lippy and Grumpy Do Podcasting.
In this episode, hot tick buns, childbirth devices and driving through floods.
Now Lippy.
Hello.
We are in Lippy Towers.
We are in the same room.
In the same room. I don't think we've done a full episode in the same room together ever before.
No, I don't know if we have actually.
No.
No.
So, wife of Grumpy, who we now need to refer to as Lady Captain.
Oh, yes, Lady Captain.
has gone on her joint captain's charity day.
Yes.
Today, in aid of the prostate project in Guildford. So, obviously, a charity that I fully endorse. And I've come over to dump a washing machine.
And fit a fridge.
Oh, and fit a fridge, yes.
So don't forget the fridge.
Definitely not forgetting the fridge. So for this episode and the next one, because we record two together, we're together.
In Lippy Towers.
I like Lippy Towers. And we're also using equipment we've never used before.
So if it sounds awful, don't blame us.
Yeah, talking of which, I can only apologise for the aircraft noise.
Oh, and the washing machine's on.
That's no, helpful. Aircraft in the last episode. You live quite close to Farnborough Airfield, so you get intermittent ones. Mm. And Grumpy Towers is close to the flight
Gatwick.
Path for Gatwick. And depending on which way the wind's blowing, you can get quite a lot of aircraft.
So I have the posh, fancy planes and you have the big, dirty ones.
We have the big, dirty, smelly, noisy ones. Yes, spot on. Yes. Before we start with our usual nonsense, I'd just like to pay tribute to our friend and neighbour, Al, who very sadly passed away.
Yeah.
This week. He suffered a few demons, and unfortunately drink was one of them, and it got him in the end. He was a lovely chap. He very fondly remembers you and the Horse Whisperer.
Yes.
On scooters. He's always referred to you as the Scooter Girls, even 20 years ago. So, and he had an insatiable love of music. We'd sit for hours talking about music. So very, very sad, but you're not suffering anymore, Al. So.
No. In a better place.
Indeed, he is. Anyway, I had a message from the Screaming Tomato.
Oh, yes.
Down under,
yes, yes.
Sent me the poster for ELO's tour.
Who?
The Electric Light Orchestra, who were 1970s and 80s, massive group. I mean, just gigantic. And
they look very spacey.
It was very spacey. And I've still got Out of the Blue, which was their big album on vinyl.
Question.
Go on.
From looking at the poster, they look similar to Ross's music on the keyboard from Friends. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, that's the music I'm picturing whilst looking at this picture.
No. The point is, it's called the Over and Out Tour.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is not good. Mr. Jeff Lynn, please, no.
Learn your sayings.
And we were talking last episode or the episode before about concert tickets and the price.
Yes.
Was it Taylor Swift?
Yeah, Taylor Swift.
So Stevie Nicks, who was founder member of Fleetwood Mac, for those too young to remember that. So she's touring in the UK. One of the venues is the O2.
Oh, I've done it again.
What have you done?
I always mix up Stevie Nicks and Stevie Wonders, and I can never remember which one's which. And that time I was like, oh yeah, Stevie Nicks is the man.
No, Stevie Nicks
is the woman.
Is the lady.
The witchy lady.
Yes, that's a very, very good way to describe it. Not that she is a witch, but she dresses.
She's very magical.
Very magical. Anyway, her tickets are £210.95 each.
Ooh.
Plus £2.50 handling fee. How can you charge 210 quid for a ticket and then a handling fee? That's outrageous.
That's madness.
Absolutely outrageous.
How long's the concert for?
I don't know. And it would be very good. I mean, she is a superb artist. Mm. But I don't think I'd pay that much.
No, I wouldn't. No. Unless maybe it's like a cult thing and she's doing some magic, then I would.
No, there'll be no magic because that doesn't exist. Now, this episode is going out on Good Friday, hopefully. And we'll be in a field in Cranley helping some youngsters locate chocolate eggs.
Well,
and we have got so many eggs this year.
Have you? Oh, good.
So many.
Well, my favourite part is that I get a bucket full of eggs. And this year, because I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
I need to be constantly snacking.
Yeah, that chocolate in those little eggs is an acquired taste.
It's like Christmas coin chocolate.
Yeah, it's got something in it that's, yeah, I don't think, very good for you.
I'm sure the baby will like it. The baby doesn't like anything that's good for it. Doesn't like broccoli, but it does like a Diet Coke and a pizza. So I'm sure it'll be fine with the chocolate eggs.
Yeah, I think it probably will be. One of our Lions members went to Sainsbury's yesterday and came away with 120 eggs.
Oh, wow.
So we have got so many eggs.
Donated eggs. Yeah,
yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. That is good.
Yeah, there was a bit of confusion and they said, oh, you'll need to go and get a trolley. And he went outside and he looked at the two trolleys and went, do I go in with a smaller one? Or do I look a bit cocky and go in with a big one? So he went in with a big one.
Yeah.
And
They filled it. Nice.
Fantastic. So
that is great.
Yeah, so if you're listening to this and it's before 10:30 and you're in the Cranley area,
chances are high.
I think all the people that listen to this will be there anyways.
Yes, most likely, yeah. Actually, because I know a few of my friends are coming.
Excellent. The more the merrier. Mm. The only thing I would say, apparently it's quite soggy in the car parking area.
So. Oh, bring your 4x4s.
4x4s. And
or walk down.
That would be better.
That's a possibility.
That is definitely the best thing, but it's probably too late for that. Anyway, the point I was getting to is that Iceland have released hot tick buns. So instead of a cross on it, there's a tick.
Oh.
Which I think is quite a clever marketing. But according to GB News, and this is not a news station that I would generally pay any attention to whatsoever, they've got an article on there saying apparently people are in uproar over it. And it says a Christian group, it doesn't name them, basically think it's the end of the world. But
blasphemy.
Well,
is that the word? Blasphemy.
That's quite good. But quite how you go from a Christian religion to hot cross buns and chocolate eggs, I don't know.
And also, like, realistically, I think it's more offensive, some of these ridiculous flavours that Marks and Spencers have come out with.
Well, yes, it's name and shame. I mean, there's all sorts, aren't there? There's cheese ones.
Yeah, no.
Like, all sorts.
That's more offensive than a tick.
Yeah, I think so. But I'm pleased to say that our mark here, which comes on a Thursday, the bakery there have got a very nice looking hot cross bun. So I shall be topping up on Thursday.
Yes, I think the baby would like that.
I think the baby would like that. So, Lady Captain.
Lady Captain.
Tends to eat hot cross buns all year round, which I think is more blasphemous than...
Blasphemous.
Not sure that's a word.
No, that and the cream eggs.
Yes.
She would eat cream eggs all year round if that was a possibility.
Absolutely. She keeps appearing at home for one.
Does she? Well, apparently I got a box sent to work. Someone messaged me. I wasn't in the office. So there's a whole box of cream eggs here with your name on them. I was like, I have no idea what they are.
What, cream eggs?
Yeah.
You don't know what a cream egg is?
Well, no, I don't know why I've got a whole box of them.
That's a slightly different question.
Yeah.
Now, I found an interesting little digital camera. A while back, and it's if you remember this far back, but you used to have what they call disposable cameras.
I'm not that young.
Well, like, I can't remember when they were.
We had disposable cameras.
Okay, so there was a film camera,
yeah,
and it was a sort of one usage, which is, you know, when you look at the environment, it's probably not brilliant, but no. That was the 90s. So
yes.
Anyway, so somebody called Campersnap has produced a digital version.
I've seen this.
Yeah, so it's there's a viewfinder. There's no screen on the back. There's a SD card in there that's held in with a screw, so it's not going to pop out too easily. It'll take thousands of photos, and presumably the battery will last, you know, for a very long time. It's a chargeable one, which I thought was a really good idea. Yeah. So I bought one.
Did you?
I bought one, and I'm going to use it to take photos of baby Bambino.
Yeah, oh, cute.
And then when it's full, or when baby Bambino reaches a suitable age, I will give him or her the camera, and there'll just be a whole load, you know, from the reveal party all the way through.
Oh, I love that.
So if there's any more baby Bambinos, I'm going to have to buy another one and label
one for each. Yeah.
And there'll be a crossover, of course. Well, there'll be photos with, if there's more than one.
Oh, yes. Yes. I was like, sorry, who else is pregnant?
Well, nobody I know. But So talking of baby Bambino, how is it going?
Everyone keeps telling me, and I keep seeing lots of, I'm not reading, I'm watching TikToks. I keep watching lots of TikToks where people are like, for those mums in their first trimester, you've only got a few weeks left. When you hit 12 weeks, you'll feel great. I feel awful still.
Oh dear.
I have good days and bad days. I have more good days than bad days, but I still struggling with the nausea. and the tiredness. And someone kept saying to me, oh, you'll just have this energy. You'll just start wanting to do things again. I didn't shower for like 5 days because I didn't want to, because it's so much effort to shower.
I do the same.
Maybe that's not a baby thing. But I'm getting there.
I've just realised there's quite a bit of popping going on. And there's no pop filter in the box. So I'll have to try and work some magic
with the editing.
Don't hold out much hope. Hey, you'll be pleased to know I found a patent for quite an innovative piece of childbirth apparatus.
Oh, a patent. Isn't it a pattern?
Patent. I don't know which way, but it's one of those. And it's apparatus for the facilitating of the birth of a child by centrifugal force.
Sorry, to help me birth the child.
Yes. So when a woman is ready to deliver her child, she lies on her back on a circular table.
Yep.
She's strapped down.
Oh, God. Okay.
The table is then rotated at high speed. The baby comes flying out and apparently ends up in a net. So this was granted in 1965. So not that long ago. Really?
No.
I think they'd know better. And although meticulously and lovingly engineered with safety features to protect both mother and child, strangely, the device never made it into general use.
Yes, I think I prefer the idea of a pool birth.
Would the pool be spinning?
No. Hmm. But I could spin in the pool. You know, like you do when you're a kid and you run in circles and you make it into a little whirlpool.
I'm not sure you're going to be wanting to do that. I then went on to a bit of a patent.
Patent.
Weird patents.
Weird patents.
So this one is called Hoot Hamster, and it's a series of tubes that you wear on yourself, a little bit like a life jacket.
Okay. So
it's transparent tubes, and the hamster goes in the tube and then will run round the tubes while you go walking about.
So you can take your hamster for a walk.
You can take your hamster for a walk. He can see the
surroundings. I quite like that.
It seems rather odd, and I can't see any vents for air, which sounds like it might not be a very good idea.
Isn't there? I can see the little dotties. There are lots of little dotties.
I think the dotties are centre lines.
Oh.
I mean, there must be air coming in there. It wouldn't be a sealed unit.
I do quite like that idea, to be honest.
Yeah, it looks like it's got a food store.
Yeah.
And so it runs around a waistband and then can go up over the shoulders.
Yeah, that's quite cool.
Quite a clever idea.
I mean, you'd get some odd looks.
No.
But then people walk cats, don't they? So.
Very rarely. Very rarely. Now, I've got another obsession.
Oh, yeah?
People breaking down in Fords. As in River Fords, not Ford motor cars.
Trying to go through the big floods.
Trying to go through various Fords. And there's one in up in Nottingham that has attracted so many spectators. And in the summer, it is literally a trickle across the road.
Yeah.
There's nothing really to be seen. But in the winter, we've been having quite a lot of rain. The thing's a torrent.
Ooh.
And quite a crowd gather.
Yeah.
To watch people being stupid.
I would 100% go and watch that.
The number of cars that go through.
Watching the races.
It is a bit like that. But they go through there at such speed.
Oh, because they think the quicker they go, the quicker they'll get through.
And then the water gets sucked into the engine and it destroys itself. So it's not very smart, to be honest. And some of the
it's great entertainment.
It's astonishing entertainment. And it's very good toilet viewing, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
So there's one chap called Ben who puts a whole load of them up on YouTube. This one particular Ford has actually been closed by the council because it's been attracting too much attention.
I bet you get people see those videos and they go, I reckon I can do that, and actually go just to see if they can drive through the Ford.
Yeah, very few can. There are a few people that are absolute stars and know how to do it.
Yeah.
But there are also some cars that aren't designed.
I reckon I could do it. But not in my Aldi, it's too low to the ground, I feel
like. Well, this is the problem. And I go back to 1987 and the RAC rally. And Derek Bell, who's one of my heroes, was driving a Vauxhall Astra.
Yes, I know what that is.
The air intake was right at the bottom of the radiator.
Oh.
So on the first day, drove through a Ford at one of the stately homes.
Got water all in it.
Water in it. Engine died. All of the Astras went out on the first day for that reason.
That's so annoying.
It is annoying. I think manufacturers generally put them higher up. But these people are going through this Ford so quickly that the water is just flying over the top of the car. Some of them
doesn't matter where it is, the water's getting there.
Doesn't matter. And some people drive in and then end up veering off and going down the river. So instead of carrying on the road, they're off down the river. And when we get floods, the police say, don't go in water. It's not very many inches deep. And these people are going through 2 foot. Very silly. My advice would be sit on the toilet and watch people doing it.
Don't do it yourself.
Now, talking of cars, you had a bit of a beef about your insurance company.
Oh, I did. Because my insurance is due on the 8th of April, which I would like to announce actually to everyone that I have sorted and paid and reset up, and I've still got like 2 weeks left.
Very good.
Thank you. I think I deserve a very good.
Very good indeed.
I also did my MOT with a week's notice as well this year, so I'm very on top of it. Anyway, I went on, because you can look 30 days before, to see how much your insurance is going to be. So I did that on Compare the Market, like I always do. Then I went to my current account, which is Admiral, I think. I always forget who I'm with. Anyway, so I went on to that to have a look to see if my renewal comes through, and it hadn't. So I messaged them saying, any chance I can get my renewal? Because I'm looking at prices now, and there was quite a good low one, and I just want to compare and then decide what I'm going to do. He came back with no. Well, not just no, obviously, but that I can't, because it's computer done based, that he can't get me my insurance renewal quote any sooner. So I replied saying, oh fine, I'll just go with this other company then, thinking that might like spur them on to be like, oh, we'll see what we can do. Nope, he just came back saying, oh, we really hope we can get it out to you before you decide to leave us. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that if it was Admiral, we've had experience with Admiral. Personally, I wouldn't touch them with a barge pole anymore.
Oh, I've renewed with them.
and they're very happy to cut off their nose to spite their face.
Well, they gave me quite a good discount when my renewal did come through.
So who have you gone with?
Admiral. I've been with them for the last 3 years. Why? I didn't realise they were bad.
There was an incident.
Oh. Home insurance is with them as well. I'll move that then.
there was an incident where Lady Captain was driving along Bookham High Street and was hit by another car. She was stationary. And Wife of Grumpy was stationary.
If they were both stationary, how did they hit?
No. The other car was moving.
Oh, sorry.
So anyway, she tried to put a claim in. This woman said, no, we'll pay for it. That's all right. And then they went, no, we're not paying for that. So went to the insurance company and it went nowhere and they just shut the claim. So we ended up having to pay to have it done. So as far as I'm concerned, that doesn't count as a claim.
No.
But Admiral had picked up that this had happened and they went, your wife is insured on the Corsa, which you girls had. We need to put the policy up. Well, why? Well, because she had this accident. Well, yeah, but
no, you didn't. Well, you didn't pay us out for it,
and it was a non-form one. Oh no, you still got to put it up. And I just taken out insurance for the Mini with them, and was going to sort all of the cars over a multi-group policy. And I said,
I do remember this now. Yeah.
And I said, right, well, if you're going to charge that, that's fine. But I'm going to cancel the Mini and cancel all the others. And they went, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
So they charged, I think it was another 80 quid or something, and then lost all the
hundreds. Yeah.
Crazy.
That is crazy.
And I had a problem with them before when I came off a motorbike and they decided to put my car insurance up. And I said, but it's unrelated.
Driving a motorbike is very different to driving a car.
Well, I think this was just on the cusp of if you've had any accident whatsoever, then we're going to put your policy up. So this was the start of it.
Mm.
Eventually they did back down, but I wouldn't touch them.
Oh, well. I mean, I don't tend to crash, so I won't need to claim. Also, I drive 2 days a week these days.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't drive enough. I put my miles right down to like 6,000 because I just don't go anywhere.
It's astonishing, isn't it?
And Duck Boy is getting a lovely new car.
Oh, yes.
A nice big one.
Yeah.
So my car will be pretty redundant once that one comes along.
Yes, that's very true. And how do you pronounce the name of it?
Tucson?
No, the manufacturer.
Hyundai.
Because haven't they changed the way?
No, I think that was just a marketing ploy to get people to remember Hyundai. They're saying it's Hyundai.
Hyundai, yeah.
But it's not, it's Hyundai.
Hyundai, yeah. Well, no, Hyundai. There'll be a course. When you pick it up, there'll be a course.
I'm going to ask. Mm. I bet the salesperson has absolutely no idea which one's right.
Probably not. Almost certainly not. So I think going back to the insurance, isn't 26 days the...
20.
20 days is the prime time.
Oh no, 20 days is when Admiral released their renewal.
No, but 26 days, according to Martin Lewis, money saving expert, is prime. It's when it's its lowest.
Well, I got it down from 130 to 194.
That seems
that's a lie. I got it down from 330 to 294.
Okay.
Wow, my numbers really didn't come out properly there.
No, you've got baby maths.
I have baby brain and I haven't got a baby yet.
According to one of our clients who's also pregnant, that happens before.
Well, Lady Captain keeps telling me, no, you can't have pregnancy brain, it's only baby brain. But I definitely have pregnancy brain. I'm forgetting everything.
Yeah.
It's the hormones. Blame the hormones.
Mm. Well, that's a good thing to blame. I was somewhat shocked to see HMRC was going to shut down their self-assessment hotline for 6 months after April, which I've only had a couple of dealings with.
What do they do?
Inland Revenue.
Oh, Inland Revenue. Tax man.
And it's been shockingly bad, I have to say.
I don't think I've ever spoken to the tax man. They sent me letters.
Yeah, and I had a letter from them. Well, I have four letters on the same day saying that I owed them £20,000 of tax.
Oh!
Which I'd paid.
What?
Yeah, I'd paid it. But
you already paid it?
I had already paid it.
Oh, you had already paid it. You didn't owe them. Okay,
no,
sorry.
No, so I didn't owe it, but they were missing a piece of paper from the accounts. And instead of asking for that piece of paper, they just sent lots of letters. So I phoned up and said, well, what's going on here? And then, and the woman said, oh, I can see what's happened. She said, I just need this and we can solve that. And I said, oh, well, why didn't you put that in the letter? She said, I honestly don't know.
No.
I stopped a letter going out last week that said an ex gratia payment instead of ex gratia payment.
Oh, God.
So, and this is, oh, gosh, 20 years ago, 15, 20 years ago.
Wow. And they're probably more automated now.
Well, it's not so much automated. They just don't have the skills.
Yeah.
The people don't know what they're doing.
No.
And it's fairly typical of having people in at fairly low salaries.
Mm.
And then they've got a choice about where they work.
Yeah, they've just got people in to be shouted at, basically.
Well, probably. Or just to get on and do things. And according to Private Eye, now is the best time to do any tax fiddling that you may or may not want to do.
Oh, because it's just after the tax?
No, because there's
don't oh, I see, because
the
they don't
investigate.
Mm, I see. My favourite letter from the tax man was they sent me a letter saying I owed £1.50 in tax because something had changed in my salary. And I said, well, if you didn't send the letter, you probably would have saved the £1.50 and paid off my tax.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They asked me if I wanted to pay it up front or split it across the year.
Well, I'd split it, personally.
I just left it. I didn't reply. They just do stuff, don't they? They just change your tax code and sort it out themselves if you don't reply. So I just didn't reply.
It's the best thing to do. Anyway, they've decided to do a reverse ferret and reopen it after getting a telling off from the Chancellor of Exchequer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. And I hear, you know, stories of people that are on the phone for hours and hours trying to get stuff resolved.
I'm so glad I'm not self-employed.
Well, it can be fairly straightforward. I mean, Lady Captain is self-employed and I do her return every year. And it's a doddle because it's some money's come in, there's a bit of expense and the rest of it's income.
Yeah.
But if you've got...
You've got a confusing one.
Well, for example...
Like stock and...
Well, stock or builder with subcontractors and all. It's just monstrously difficult.
Nightmare.
And they seem to have put all the onus on the individual to do it, not themselves. But, you know, we are where we are.
I learned the other day you don't get a statutory maternity pay if you're self-employed.
Oh, no.
You get a maternity allowance.
Yeah.
It's which not... is a wonderful £180 a week from the day you give birth.
Yeah, being self-employed is not wonderful in terms of benefits. I've always done it through a limited company. So essentially you're employed, but you have to leave the company to get any sort of employment benefit.
Oh.
So if you're between work, then you don't get anything at all.
No.
Oh, the dog's woken up.
Oh, do you think he needs a wee?
He needs a wee.
Wow.
I think Floyd's a bit confused about the AstroTurf.
He's allowed to wee.
Talking of dog bodily functions. Oh, no, he's got a smell now. So we went for a walk earlier this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Thought tire him out a little bit. And we did one of our usual routes. And we're walking up the road and there's a massive water leak coming from the middle of the road. So I thought, I really ought to report that because it was about 7:15. So
probably one of the first people to have seen it.
Possibly. And it certainly wasn't there last night because we did the same trip. So I had a look at Thames Water report burst. And of all the things Thames Water do,
they do that well.
Unbelievably badly. They do this really well. And up pops a map, said where you are, press a button, report it really easily.
Simple.
So I'm doing that, and I turned around to see Floyd had had a massive dump in somebody's driveway. So I apologise if you've looked on your camera this morning and there's a small brown dog and a massive
doing a big brown
plop. So it'll be interesting to see how quickly Thames Water get on the case there, because there was an awful lot of water coming out of middle of the road, pavement, and all over the place. So.
No.
But annoyingly, they've only just finished working on that bit.
Oh.
So who knows?
Well, they fixed it about a mile down the road. That's the problem.
No, they had that bit dug up. That was bit's been... was open for a good 6 weeks, I think, while they were replacing stuff. But who knows? Who knows with Thames Water?
Who knows? We had a letter from the council to say they were doing something to our pavement.
Oh, yeah.
Don't know what they're doing to it, but they're doing something to the pavement, so we won't be able to leave our driveway between the hours of 8:30 and 5 for a certain amount of weeks.
When's that?
Starting next week or the week after.
Oh, okay. So you wouldn't want that in September?
Oh, God, no. I think I would just drive through them, to be perfectly honest. If I was in labour and they were blocking my driveway, I would not.
When we were doing NCT classes, there was a discussion about getting to hospital. Because the Halls Whisperer is due end of January. And obviously there's a possibility of snow and all sorts of chaos.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And somebody said about driving. I said, if your husband's not around, should you drive to the hospital?
Oh.
And the lady doing the NCT said, oh, no, use an ambulance. And somebody said, why, are they easier to drive?
Can I guess who that was?
Yeah, you know who that was. So we've just dispatched Duck Boy with Floyd.
Dog.
He seems to be slightly confused about your AstroTurf.
Yes, doesn't understand that he's allowed to wee on it.
Well, it's a little bit like carpet, and he's very good in the house. We did have a couple of nights of a rather horrible poo explosion.
Well, that's probably like illness poo, though,
it was, Yeah, because he got down to the back door and, yes.
And panicked.
Anyway, let's not talk about that. So when I started my software development career in 1981, I worked using a language called COBOL, which you don't hear about at all, really, these days. But interestingly, there's 240 billion lines of COBOL code still running in the world. And 70% of Fortune 500 business systems and 85% of all business transactions go through a mainframe that's running COBOL.
Oh, well, I guess if it was one of the first codes, it's what a lot of people
worked on. Well, it was a very early one, and it was, you know, it's a business language rather than a scientific one. But the problem is that nobody wants to work on it. So people like myself coming to end of...
retirement age.
Well, sort of retirement age. And nobody really wants to touch it because it's so...
so old.
Yeah, it's so old. And it's not, you know, it's so different to the development languages you use now.
Oh, God.
It's a lot easier in some respects, but it's a lot more pernickety in others. So it's a really difficult one. And they're saying it's the most valuable asset in the United States after oil is the lines of COBOL. So
crazy. So maybe, learning that.
Well, maybe there's a couple of years of really milking it.
Yeah.
And who knows?
Just doing some self-employed.
Yeah, absolutely.
My rate is £500 a day.
Oh, it'll be more than that. A lot more than that. Anyway, so, you know, you look at something like modern language, C#, the book's about 2 inches thick. COBOL is about 1/4 inch thick. And it's got everything you need to know in it.
Easy.
Very, very easy.
I could learn that. Do it on maternity.
You could learn that. Now, I've not watched any of the Formula One this year.
Well, you've missed one race.
Oh, I thought I missed two.
Yes.
One this weekend as well.
Yeah, you've missed two and there's one this weekend.
I got confused because they were on a Saturday.
Yes, just because of where they are in the world.
Okay, that's not what I heard. But
oh, I thought that's what it was.
It was to do with Ramadan. But
oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense, which is fine. But it was a bit confusing because I then thought, well, maybe they've moved them all to Saturday.
No. There was a few reminders as well for people to say, it's on Saturday, don't forget.
Okay, I bet. Anyway, with all the goings on with this, that and the other, it does seem to have turned into The Apprentice or The Only Way is Essex, depending on how you look at it.
You're going to have to explain that one because I don't.
Well, one name, Christian Horner.
Oh, with the drama. Yeah. I see. Yeah. Yes, I got you there. Okay.
Lewis going to Ferrari.
Yeah. And very dramatic.
This one going there and that one doing there. There seems to be more excitement away from the track.
Yeah.
Than there is on track.
Yeah, on track's a bit dull. I mean, for this weekend's race, Max has qualified first again.
Where is it?
Australia. Oh, it's Melbourne. Australia. Melbourne race. The only interesting one is Norris is fourth.
Oh, very good.
And Leclerc is fifth.
Excellent.
Which is bad because Sainz is the one that's leaving and he was third. Or he was second.
Okay.
And he's the one leaving Ferrari.
Oh, dear.
But yes.
Yeah. So I think it's quite sad when the peripheral stuff is more exciting.
More interesting.
Than the sport itself.
Mm. Although the last race, they had an 18-year-old British driver in the Ferrari car. I don't know if you saw about this.
I think I did, but I can't remember the name.
With signs having an appendicitis.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So he was in. He did so well. He scored points. I think he came ninth or eighth or ninth. And
gosh,
did really well.
Isn't it?
Yeah, had a really good race. So
good.
He's got a good career ahead of him, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like it, doesn't it?
And another British driver, which is good. It was actually Russell, this guy, Oliver something, or Ollie something.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember his surname. Ollie something. Then Norris, then Hamilton.
Wow.
We had four British drivers in a row.
Gosh. Oh, I haven't had that for a very long time. Yes, I'm still not going to watch.
No. We'll let you know when it starts getting interesting again.
Excellent.
Well, when Max gets a puncture and is out of the race, that's when it will be interesting again.
Yeah, or maybe somebody just lock him in a cupboard somewhere so he's not there for race day.
I just think someone should take the hit and take him out every week.
Well, interesting. I saw a picture of Damon Hill this week standing on the corner in Australia. Mm. Well, I think it was Australia, where Michael Schumacher took him out.
Oh.
So Michael Schumacher had hit the wall and wasn't going to finish. And if he didn't finish, then Damon Hill would win the championship.
Oh.
So he drove into Damon Hill.
Oh, I love that kind of drama.
Well, it's very bad sportsmanship.
It's very bad sportsmanship.
Really bad. Although it's good winningship.
Yes.
If I remember right, Michael was stripped of second place and all the points. So.
Yeah, you can't win for something like that. That's not good behavior.
So I kind of understand why he did it. But in the heat of the moment, you think, well, if I just nudge him a bit.
Yeah.
But there was a start of in-camera video, and you could see quite clearly you turned into him. But
yeah, you need slightly better tactics, like Carlos had last season, where he kept Norris in his DRS so that Norris then wouldn't get overtaken by the Mercedes, because if the Mercedes have overtaken Norris, they would have then caught signs. Yeah. So he finished the race with Norris in his DRS, just to keep giving him that little push so that the Mercedes couldn't overtake. Now that's good.
That's good teamwork.
That's good. Well, they're on different teams.
Well, it's good inter-teamwork.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It helps when you have a common enemy.
Yes, exactly.
So in the last episode, you did your, how do I describe it? I've forgotten it
now. Things you can get away with now that you're pregnant.
That's the one.
Yeah.
So have you got a thing for this week?
Do you know what? The problem is I can't remember what I said last week and I don't want to say the same.
Oh, hang on a minute. I don't think I wrote it down.
Oh, no. If it's the same as last week, just...
Well, if it's the same as last week, it's a thing you get away with. Repeating yourself.
Repeating yourself. My thing you get away with... Oh, no, I do remember what I said last week. Okay, I do. It is different. That's a good start. You never have to make yourself a drink ever again.
Ooh.
Just tell your husband or your partner, your baby daddy, that the baby's thirsty. And that you're too exhausted to get up.
That's outrageous.
I mean, Duck Boy's only semi-listening, I'm sure. Go into whisper mode.
He'll never hear this.
But yeah, that's my one. You never have to make yourself a drink again, unless you want to.
I've got a slightly odd fun fact.
Oh, yeah?
Pistol dueling with wax bullets was a popular pastime in the early 20th century and even featured as a sport in the 1908 Summer Olympics.
Oh, that would still hurt.
It's going to sting.
Yeah, that would really hurt.
It's going to sting. Yes. They see the picture here. They do seem to be quite well protected with a big overcoat. Anyway, we've been distracted by a dog. So, well, that's it for this week.
Yes.
That's it for this podcast. Thank you so much for listening.
You can help spread Lippy and Grumpy's view on life by leaving a review on your favourite podcast platform.
If you're not sure how to leave a review, or if you download from Spotify, there's some help at lippyandgrumpy.uk/review.
And if you would like to get in touch, email podcast@lippyandgrumpy.uk.
So it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from him.
Goodbye.